Father, our hearts are both joyous because we're thinking and singing about you and about your Son and our Savior, and our hearts are heavy because we live in a world where there is pain and sorrow and death, and in fact, as your light is cast forth, even our own darkness is brought to the table, and we see our own brokenness and our own fragility. We pray, Father, that you would, in these moments, as we are here to worship you, we pray, Father, that our hearts and minds would be turned to you again, freshly, and that in that fresh look at you and your Son and your provision for us and your kindness to us, we ask that you would steady us and establish us, bring forth peace and joy and confidence, not in us or our circumstances or our governing authorities or our first responders, as much as they're people that are important. Our hope and our confidence is firmly fixed on you. You never waver. You never change. You're the same yesterday and today and forever. In you, our hope remains. Give us grace in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me ask you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. We all experience this season differently. I'm not sure how you experience the getting dark early piece. You know, at like 4:30 and it's already dark. Do you like that? That was mostly a no. I bet you that there are a few that say they like it because of the cozy factor and some of the other aspects that come with it. So some people hate it. Some people like it. I'm not sure. Maybe some people even love it, getting early dark early. One of the benefits of early darkness during the Christmas season is we get to see the lights on people's houses. So because it's darker, the lights come on, they shine brighter. It's a benefit. When you're in a dark location, like my wife and I were a few weeks back when it was not cold where we were. Oh, where is she? She left. We were in the middle of the ocean on a cruise ship, the Pacific Ocean, close to Hawaii. I want to go back. In the middle of the ocean, it's really dark. And when you look up, the lights, the stars are brilliant and clear and beautiful. When you're surrounded by darkness, the light can penetrate. We need both light and darkness during this life. Our sleep cycles would be a mess if it were like in Alaska, periods of time where it's 24 hours of light or 24 hours of darkness. Not a good situation for sleep cycles. We need both light and darkness. And what's really interesting, in the course of biblical history, which means world history, God has sent both light at times, and God also has sent darkness at times. At the very beginning, when God created the world, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Remember that one? That's Genesis 1:1. Verse 2 says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep." So God created all this stuff, and darkness. It's not the only time God caused darkness to be over something. In the days when the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, God sent a darkness over the face of the land. The way that Moses records it, it was a darkness that could be felt. can't see. So there's the inability to see something, but it was penetrating. There's another time in human history when there was a darkness that came out of nowhere that could be felt. It was when Jesus was hanging on the cross and God caused a darkness to go over the face of the land. This transaction where God was making Jesus sin for us. Jesus was charged guilty for our sin. So at the word of God, there's light, and at the word of God, there's darkness. It's in accordance with his sovereign authority. And without God's intervention, darkness would remain. But Genesis 1 doesn't end with him saying, and darkness was over the face of the deep. A little later on in the text, it says, let there be what? And there was what? God says light, and there it is. No one else can do that, not without a computer program that computerizes their lights in their home. You can say it now probably if you have your Alexa controlling your lights or Siri or whoever other human AI thing that's in a device, say light, and no one else can do this like in reality. You can't program the lights out there. What's interesting is that when God said, let there be light, and there was light, he had not yet created the sun, the moon, and the stars.
Sorry, I don't understand.
Siri, I speak, Siri speaks. Thank you, Siri. That was not intended. Some of the best illustrations come without intention. God speaks forth light, and there's light. And then he makes the sun, and then he makes the stars. He hangs them in space. And we have God through the light given and the sun. We have radiant energy. We have heat. We have light source. We have solar energy, all kinds of things that are common graces. God speaks forth truth. He speaks forth light, and darkness dispels. God gives light and we have life. This is an amazing thing. And so what we're talking about this morning, we're celebrating the Christmas season. What is the Christmas season all about? It's the incarnation where God becomes flesh. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, the eternal Savior, comes in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He came to eradicate that which creates death and separation. This Lord of life, this God of light, comes to dispel darkness and death. And John chapter 1 captures it so beautifully. It's a deep, amazing, theological treatise on who Jesus is. In the first three verses, speaks about his eternal nature and his creative ability. In fact, John will tell us that nothing in this whole wide world was created outside of Jesus' word to create. Jesus is the creator of all that you see, including you. Not only is he the creator of everything, he is the light. He is the light. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Look down at verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. In fact, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, which is to believe in his name, God, through Christ, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus is the Word who creates, and he is the life that shines, giving light to men. Jesus is the light of men. He's the light we need. You see that on the screen. He's the light of men. Light helps us to see dangers. Light helps us to see what really is. What really is, what's just fact, what's true. Light helps us to see. Light helps us to see a better way. The Bible says that the Word, God's Word, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the light we need. It's an interesting phrase in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This Jesus, who is the source of and distributor of life, comes forth in shining glory and gives light that results in life. Now, we know that there is a tight relationship between light and life, right? Without light, there is no photosynthesis. Without photosynthesis, plants can't live. If plants aren't alive, there is no oxygen. There's a lot of problems. You have no light. No life, no light. Excuse me, no light, no life. There's a connection. Jesus is, in fact, the life that gives light, that produces life. Pretty interesting, isn't it? It's just a little expose on the coming one, the one who came into the world. John is just recording in this theological way. I want you to know about this baby that the shepherds sang about, that the angels sang about. I want you to know about this baby that we watched, betrayed, beaten, crucified, buried. I want you to know something about this baby who received his life back, took his life back, rose from the grave, was seen by men, and ascended back into heaven. I want to know a little bit about who this one is. He is the Creator. He is life. He is light. And this Savior who is light and life gives light and life. It's as if he says, my friend, where you're surrounded by death and darkness, and you're headed headlong after that death and darkness, but I have something for you. I'm shining a light so you'll see that you're enshrouded in darkness, that the darkness that you have within you is far worse than the darkness without you. And I have for you light to expose that darkness and light to dispel that darkness, and life to replace the darkness and death that's revealed there. I am, he says, the life that you need. Jesus is God in the flesh, creator, sustainer. He's light, and his light is cast forth and overcoming darkness. It's just a fact. Now, we continue to live in this age. Here we are. We're in the 21st century, 2025, almost 2026. And every day, you know, we're talking about something that took place last night. For us, it feels like a large-scale thing because it's impactful in a community, that, and we're not used to this. It's, quite honestly, it's a small-scale thing compared to what people all around the globe are facing. Like this darkness and death and torture and horror is all around the globe. So it feels like darkness is winning. It can feel that way, doesn't it? Can't it feel that way? Just remember, eternity is long. And 2025 is pretty short. And your lifespan is pretty short. I'm going to use an expression. It's simplifying a big concept. But God plays the long game, not the short game. He is the beginning and the end. And the end is already established. He's not worried. He's not anxious. He knows that darkness has already been defeated. He knows that life and light has already won. He's never anxious, never feeling inept, never feeling incapable, never worried about the outcomes. He knows because he is. He's God. And Jesus broke into this world of darkness. And he experienced what it's like to live in the midst of darkness. To feel the pain of a tired, hungry, thirsty body. To feel the pain of being rejected by his very closest family members and his very closest friends. To be betrayed by a society, to be betrayed by authorities, and then, in stunning and confusing glory, Jesus experienced the full penalty being charged as sin, guilty as sinner, so much so that you'll remember the cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? None of us can comprehend eternity. We try. We want to. We want to expand our mind to understand eternity. Jesus is eternal, and he's been in eternal fellowship and unity and union with his Father for all of that time. And we have this moment, it broken into the middle of history, where Jesus experienced some kind of retribution, the wrath of God for my sin, Jesus taking on my darkness, and he was never overcome by that darkness. The darkness cannot overcome Jesus, who is the source of and the substance of light. It's amazing. When we think about this celebration of this season, it's God becoming flesh, living for us, dying for us, being raised for us to declare us righteous in union, in fellowship with God, friends of God, children of God, heirs of God, recipients of God's glory and life and everything. Breaking into the middle of darkness. Jesus casting of light always wins. Like, look again at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You can think about all the ways in which Satan and the world and our flesh fight war against God, war against the light, and God, amazingly, never is thrown off course. 2 Corinthians 4:6 makes this glorious statement. It's an allusion back to Genesis 1. Listen to these words from 2 Corinthians 4:6. The one who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The context of 2 Corinthians 4 is Satan is trying to blind the minds of those who don't believe. And God says, "Let there be light." And when God says, "Let there be light," guess what happens? And there was light. He's so good. He's so faithful. He's so capable. And to illustrate this, I want to turn to one text of Scripture. Take a look at Acts 26 for a moment. So you're in John, one book to your right, Acts 26, and you'll see it in the life of the Apostle Paul. Talking about Jesus being the light that we need. He's the light of men, and his casting of light is a victorious casting of light. In Acts chapter 26, look at verse 12 and following, where Luke writes, "In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority of and commission of the chief priest." So Luke is writing, but who is the speaker? It's about Paul. Paul is giving his testimony. He's telling people how he came to know Jesus as Savior. Verse 13, "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you.'" Listen to this in verse 18. "To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So Jesus says, "As I've shown light into you and converted your darkness to light, you'll go to people and you'll tell them who I am, the light. And they will turn from darkness to light, from death to life. They will receive forgiveness of sin through faith in me." As they see the light cascading, cast forth about who God is in Christ and what Jesus came to accomplish, they will be converted from darkness into life. Darkness to light, excuse me. This is the testimony of every believer. We're transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, from one kingdom to another. This is what God does. He takes us from darkness to light, because the light comes forth and darkness is dispelled. The darkness has not overcome the light of Jesus. Instead, He has overcome the darkness. He has overcome the world. He has overcome sin and death. And as the victor, He offers both light and life. Back in John 1, one of the ways that light is clearly seen is light is in the context of one statement. Light is knowledge. It's like light can go, you can go from ignorant to aware, right? From not knowing something to knowing something. Well, one of the ways that Jesus gives light is He shows us in human flesh what divine is. He shows us in the incarnation what God is like. That's what we see in verses 14 through 18 of John 1. So we're back in John 1. Look at verses 14 to 18 just for a moment. It says, and the Word, it's a reference to Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That expression will come up again in a moment. John bore witness about me and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. When we think about Jesus as the light and showing us who God is, here's what I want for you to think about for a moment. Everything that is seen in the life of Jesus, some people saw it with their eyes. We read about it in the Gospels. It is a revelation of the nature of Jesus' Father. Jesus is the explanation of the Father. It says, he has made him known. He has declared him. He has explained the Father. So when you watch Jesus feeding the 5,000 or the 4,000 on another occasion, when you see Jesus calming a storm, when you see Jesus healing an issue of blood, when you see Jesus touching a leper, when you see Jesus compassionately caring for a man who never walked, you're seeing the generous, kind, humble nature of a God that we can't see with our eyes. No one has seen him, it says. God has given people in over the history of mankind glimpses in this life. Those that have gone home to be with him, those who have passed away in faith and have entered into glory, they see what God reveals there. In this life, God gives little glimpses that, of a portion of his glory. Jesus is the full expression of God's glory, enshrouded in human form. He's full of grace and truth. And in Jesus' grace and truth, you see the Father's grace and truth. The teachings of Jesus, the activities of Jesus, the kindness of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, and the strong rebuke that comes from Jesus. Whatever the context is revealing about Jesus, he's a revelation of his Father. All the things that Jesus said are the things that came from his Father. He reveals who God is. He's casting light, and the light is to help us to see what God is like. It's not Old Testament angry God, New Testament fluffy God. This doesn't work that way. You want to see what God is like, you learn from all the pages of Scripture, and you see the full declaration and demonstration of it in the person of Jesus. And if you were to narrow it all down to what Jesus came to do and what that full expression of his Father is like, it's not Jesus as a baby. And it's not Jesus sitting on the mountainside teaching. If you want to get right to the crux of the matter and see who God is through Jesus, you get to the end of his ministry and you see him naked, bloodied, hanging on a tree, experiencing pain and torment in the midst of darkness for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
For me. He lived for me. He lived for me. Meeting every demand, both of the letter and the spirit. And he died for me. Because I do not meet neither the letter nor the spirit of the law. Jesus lived for me and he died for me. He was buried for me. And he rose for my justification, Romans 4:25 tells me. He rose in order to declare me righteous by trusting him. In order to declare you righteous by trusting him. You want to see what God is like? Look at Jesus. You want to see what Jesus is like? Get to the cross. Get to the cross. Where he lays down his life. The innocent. The just. For the unjust. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. So Jesus lives and dies and is raised for our justification in order that those that will trust Jesus will be united into his life, which means the life he lived, the death he died, the resurrection he experienced, all of these things I become joined into, united to. There's a way in which I have died with Christ. There's a way in which I was buried with Christ. There's a way in which I was raised with Christ. And because of his resurrection, there's a guarantee of my future resurrection. Because of Christ, he's come to unite us together with God. He's the light that has come into this darkness. And in the very darkest moment, as he hung on the cross, bearing our sin and our shame, the brightest light came forth. God, dying for us. You want some light in the midst of darkness? You think about the pain you've experienced, and Jesus says, I'm going to take that. And I'm going to experience that. I'm going to experience the nth degree of what death is like. I'll feel forsaken, and then I will entrust myself back into the hands of my Father after I say one very important statement. It is finished. The light shines forth out of the darkest of darkest moments. God sends forth darkness and he sends forth light. And in that moment where the darkest moment of human history, we see on the pages of Scripture, the brightest light came forth. He's the light of the world. And friends, he's the light we need. But you know what? He's the light we have. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Everyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. The light has come in the midst of darkness. We experience darkness, but the light of Christ, it never, never is overcome by darkness. Let's pray together. Father, oh, there's so many things in our hearts and minds that we think about during this season. There are good experiences, good memories, nostalgic things. There are hard aspects of this experience, deeply disturbing aspects, things that that we don't want to remember, and they are conjured up during this season. God, in the midst of this darkness, it can be hard to see light, but you are giving forth light in the form of your Son. He has come, He is the light, and He doesn't cease being the light. God, help us to see, help us to believe. We pray that our hearts and minds would be steadied and stayed and encouraged by the light that you have sent forth to show us who you are, to show us what you're like. God, we're looking forward to the day when you take your people home and we experience nothing but the glory and light that is associated with you. We pray in the meantime, as we wait and we anxiously look forward to that day when we're with you forever, we pray that you give us the ability to see and believe that you are doing good in the midst of a world of darkness, in the midst of our own heart that is dark. God, dispel that darkness, shine your light, and may we find in you all that you really are, light and life and truth and mercy and grace. Help us to entrust ourselves to you and our neighbors as well. In Jesus' name, amen.